Remember that God loves you. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Amen. Let's give all the fathers a hand. We are grateful. We are just thankful to God that He's blessed us to come again into the house of the Lord. And I got a couple of things I do want to recognize. We have a couple of people that were in the hospital. I ask that you continue to pray for our members. Go down the list and just pray for those that need prayer. Mr. Esau Clark, Tony Smith, Rhody Herndon, Grace Tinsley, and Naomi Johnson. Keep them in your prayers, as well as our seniors, as well as those that need strength from God. On last Sunday, we celebrated our Youth Day here at the church and recognizing the graduates. And we do have a graduate that received her master's degree in social work. Brenda Kirkland received her master's degree in social work, and so I want to congratulate her as well. Now, next Sunday, we'll be having baptism here at Crossroad, and we'll be, Drake Preston is going to be baptized next Sunday. We'll also have the baby dedication of the Barksdales, so we're going to have their grandbaby dedicated here on next Sunday, so baptism and dedication coming up on next Sunday. I want to just congratulate our men's golf team. Did an excellent job yesterday between Chapel Grove, Brother Walthall, Reverend Gibbons. We had Brother Creed, and who else did we have? And Melvin. Melvin and I was tag team. So we did a great job and got the trophy one more year. Not a trophy, but just kind of bragging rights, right? But congratulate all the guys, and come out and join our men's fellowship every third Saturday. We challenge men to be men. You know, you can be something else any day, but God's counting on you to be a man. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, but continue to pray for all those that need prayer. We do have a thank you note from Brother Vincent Patterson, and he's asking that you continue to pray for him and his family. I said, thank you, Crossroad, for your generous monetary gift during my recent hospital stays, and may God bless you all, Vincent Patterson, Jr. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Mayor Corse, for opening up. Now, last thing I want to just share with you, we will be having Community Day. Community Day will be on Saturday, July 31st, making plans. We met with the Sheriff's Department. They're going to work with us and co-sponsor that event, the Campbell County Sheriff's Department, so we're looking forward to an excellent event, car show out here on the lawn of Crossroad Baptist Church. So invite your friend, invite your neighbor, and let us come together and celebrate our community day. There will be a day that we're going to have designated prayer. We'll be praying for our community, praying for our nation, praying for our law enforcement, praying for our healthcare workers, and praying for those that stand in the need of prayer. Because all of us, we need God to help us. Yeah, so they got the dedication here. T wrote a note. Aria Jean Turner. That's our grandbaby that's going to be dedicated on next Sunday. So y'all be here having a great time. Let me ask you a question. Are you as excited about God as God is excited about you? You ought to love the Lord. You ought to thank Him for everything that He's done, everything that He's given you, and how He's blessed you in ways that you don't even deserve it. You don't deserve the mercy of God. Somebody said, well, you don't deserve it, but I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to take our text and ladies, I want to challenge the men today. If you'll permit me to do that, I want to challenge the men that they would become God's man. God's man. I'll try to challenge you as well, but we want to challenge the men because we're living in a day where we're at a deficit. We're at a deficit for good men. You have good men. You got good men. They just don't know it yet. And somebody got to tell them. Look at somebody and say, you got to tell them. You got to tell them they need to be good men. So again, happy Father's Day to all the dads. And thank God that we got a Heavenly Father that's looking down upon us, right? Amen, amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 27. But the men marveled,
saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? For our subject today, we want to ask the question, what manner of man is this? And hashtag God's best man. Everybody say God's best man. Somebody look at a man around you and say, are you God's best man? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, thank you again for your mercy and kindness today. Thank you, Lord, for how awesome you are. Lord, you are truly our Father. And Lord, there's none like you. None can take care of us the way that you do. None can bless us the way that you do and keep us the way that you do. I pray that you be with us at this hour. And Lord, that you would help us to understand your truth, that we might apply it to our lives. Let us challenge not only the men, but all of your children to be the very best that they can be for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. And all the church said, amen, amen. You'll have somebody point at you and say, you the man. You the man. Now, what do they mean by that term? What does it mean to truly be the man? Does it mean or involve having lots of money, having lots of friends, having influence, being young? What does it take to be the man? That's the question today. But not only that, we might try to impress people, but how impressive is our record before God Almighty? Will God look at us and say, you're the man? Now, let me just share with you, he's going to say it either for better or for worse. He's going to say, you're the one. You're the man. You're the one that bears that responsibility. Now, just imagine in your mind being out on the sea, waves beginning to toss about, wind beginning to crash into the boat that you're in. Imagine yourself being in such a peril. You're wondering, what shall I do now? Well, the disciples were in that predicament. They were in that situation, tossed on the sea, waves dashing in and filling up the boat that they were in. But somebody had a little bit of sense. Somebody had a little bit of knowledge, said, wait a minute. We got Jesus on board. Look at somebody, tell them, we got Jesus. The scripture said that they went to Jesus because he was asleep. Well, so they thought. Our God never sleeps nor slumbers. Are y'all still here? They went to Jesus and shook him and woke him up and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? Do you not care? And Jesus looked at them and said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Why are you in such a terror? Where is the faith that you have in God's ability to work this thing out? I want to pause right here and ask you the question, when you become fearful in life, when you're desperate for answers, do you get to a place where you're wondering, now, where is my God? Where is he? Can I call on him? And the answer is, yes, you can call on him. You can call him any day, any time, any moment in your life, and God will hear and answer your prayer because he's a loving God. You know, I often say, I wish I could love God as much as he loves me. I wish I could have that same drive, and I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best to love him back. That's the reason why loving God will transform your life, because then you are simply responding to the love that God has already given you. Somebody say yes. When you respond to God's love, you embrace it, you receive it, and it fills your life with such joy. What about being a real man? They woke up Jesus and they were perhaps thinking in their mind, well, maybe he will comfort us. Tell us everything going to be all right. How many of y'all ever done that? You go to God and the Lord say, well, everything will be all right. But that wasn't on the agenda for the day. Jesus surprise them. He didn't say, everything gonna be all right. He didn't go and take the helm of the boat, said, don't worry about it, I can pilot us through this. No, no. Jesus was God's best man. Jesus was the one that stood up and spoke to the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. And they looked in shock at one another when the waves just calmed down and the wind hushed, like somebody saying to a dog, hush, and it was still. Calmness came over them, and they asked the question, what kind of man is this? I can remember at the Mount Airy Baptist Church, we had a woman that used to sing a song. Miss Cassie Lovelace would sing the song, what kind of man is this? And then she would answer back, the man that can walk on water, the man who can calm the sea. His name is Jesus. And so at that point, they were saying to Jesus, you're the man. But we just wonder, what kind of man do we have on board? You know, as you think about this, one of these days you're going to look back in the mirror and you're going to ask yourself, what kind of man am I? Are you going to point in the mirror and say, you're the man? But when you start looking at somebody else who's a little bit taller, a little bit bolder, someone who can calm the wind and the sea, and then you look at yourself and say, wait a minute, I'm not that kind of man. I want to be, but I don't know how. I want to be the man that God would have me to be. So how do I go about this journey of becoming a man? As a matter of fact, later on there's a scripture, the Bible said that some of the disciples asked Jesus, how do we do what you're doing? How do we work the works of God the way that you're performing these things? Jesus, how do we do it? And Jesus answered them, you got to have faith. You got to believe in God. You cannot become God's best man if you don't even trust him, if you don't believe in him. Now, a lot of people, like the disciples, we can trust Jesus when the boat's filling up with water. We can trust him when the storms of life are raging. We can trust him when trials are all around us. But what's going to happen when the sea gets calm, life gets good, and everything is going fine? That's when we tend not to become God's best man, but we become our own man. And your own man is the wrong man. He's wrong for a couple of reasons. Let me give you those, just in case you were asking. How do you become the wrong man? Some of us have gone down paths in life that we didn't want to go down. Some of us have journeyed into places where we didn't want to go. And it was all because we had become the wrong man. Am I talking to anybody? I'm certainly talking to myself. Remember, when I pray for a sermon, the sermon has to hit me first. And then I have to reread it and go over it because it hits me and I say, okay, now, what am I going to do about this? There was a time in my life where I might say today, I'm an okay man, but I don't know whether I'll go as far as to say I'm a good man, I'm God's best man, but I tell you what, I'm heading that direction. How many of y'all heading in that direction? Raise your hand, please. Yeah, we're heading in that direction. We want to be, our desire is to be God's best. And we do that because we love him. Now today, dads, your children are going to bring you gifts and they're going to bring you stuff and they're going to give you cars and they're going to hug you and all of that. Now that we're coming out of COVID, they're going to say, we can hug you now. But then you look at some of your kids and they don't always do what you want them to do. Am I right? They don't always get enthusiastic when you're telling them the right thing there. Matter of fact, you'll have some kind of kickback from them. No, I'm grown. You ever had your kids tell you they're grown? You had them stand up and tell you, I'm grown now. I can do what I want. And you look back at them and say, look, I'm just telling you where I've been. I know what can happen in life. But why is it and how is it that we're not becoming God's best man? And I want to give you three things very quickly. One, we're imitating the wrong men. We're imitating those that impress us. We're imitating the people that have influenced us, and sometimes it's not for good. Why is it that we've got such negative images trying to tell us how to be the man? Well, we get to the place where we're inspired by them. I was inspired by my Uncle MacArthur. He was a good-looking man, like me. Somebody said, well, my wife even said, well. But I remember him driving down the street in a 1965 GTO. He was dressed cool, driving a cool car, looking cool. And all of a sudden, as we went down the streets of South Boston, Virginia, I heard the girl say, hey, Mac. And I looked over, and I remembered, I said, I want to be like him. But my mom didn't share that same sentiment. As many times she would tell me, you ain't Mac. MacArthur died at the age of 27. I got married at the age of 19. And my wife told me at the time, you ain't Mac. You ain't have no girls screaming at you when you drive down the street. So following the wrong men can impact our life. Isn't it something that Jesus was on board with them? But they should have been engaged with him. He was on board, but they didn't know that he could do these things. And I want to tell you today, you had many wrong men. Some of the women can say, oh boy, I had a few wrong men. Don't look around, because some of you might say, I still got one. Don't look around. But here's the good news. When you got Jesus on board, you got the right man. And fellas, don't be ashamed to say, I need Jesus. Don't try to be so macho. Don't try to be so strong that you say, well, I don't need it. You need God. You need him in your life. And he wants to help you. And what I call a bodybuilder. He's going to build you up in your mind, heart, and soul. Jesus is the man. Why are we influenced by the wrong men? Well, we said we're influenced by the wrong men sometime, but not only that, we're influenced to be the wrong man because we want to avoid responsibility. Isn't it something that before God gave Adam a wife, he gave him a duty? He gave him a J-O-B. He said, now, I want you to tend this garden. I want you to take care of it. Men, we've got to step up because we're living in critical times. Now is the day where Hollywood is trying to paint the man as being weak, or either if he's strong, he ain't strong in mind, body, and soul. He got muscle, but he has no might in his spirit. We need strong men. We need men who will stand up and say, for Jesus I'll live and for Jesus I'll die. Let me tell you how you measure a strong man. You don't measure him by how he can stand up and be tall. You measure him when he can get down on his knees and call on God Almighty. How many of you men have been there? And when you got up, then you had some real power. Then you had some real strength because you knew that God was involved in your life. Men, you may never have to calm the sea. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. You may never have to speak to the wind, But one thing you will have to do is raise your children. I want to make a statement right here. I'm going to make a statement. It's going to make some folks mad. But you know what? I'm not concerned about you being angry. I'm just concerned about preaching right. It's a shame when the state has to tell you, take care of your kids. That's a shame. You might not have a whole lot to give them, but you can give them what you have. I have seen my father, a little short man, take food off of his plate and put on our plate. Why? Because he loved us. Men, you can't pick the time that you want to be a man. You got to be a man now. Are y'all still in the building? I know some folk going to write me online. Some people going to say, well, you ain't got no business talking about that. I'll tell you what, the state never had to send me a letter and said, take care of your kids. And I don't have any one of my children to say to me, you never did a thing for me. I wish they would try that trick. Are y'all still here? Men don't become the men that they should be because they're imitating other men or they're denying responsibility. You need to get to the point of freedom in your life where you can say to yourself, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to try to stand for right now. And let me tell you something. All of us have faults. Every one of us in here, without exception. But what you ought to do is what you ought to say is that I'm going to stand up and I'll do my very best. That's all God expects of you. But here's the good news. When you start saying, I want to, you know what God says? I'm going to help you. I'm on your team. Remember, Jesus was not absent from them. He was present with them, but they had to wake him up. Somebody look at somebody and say, get up, Jesus. Say it again. Look at somebody else, tell them, get up, Jesus. You can't keep the Lord asleep in your life. You can't wait till Sunday morning and try to wake him up. Wake him up on Monday. Wake him up on Tuesday. Wake him up whenever you need him. Some folks would say you can call him whenever you need him. Third reason, then I'm going to get ready to close this message. Third reason that men don't become God's best man is they're giving in to human nature. They're giving in to the fact that they have a fleshly body. Listen, you need to be telling your body what you're going to do rather than your body or your fleshly desire telling you what you're going to do. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. By the way, let me tell you about a good man in Scripture. His name was David. The Bible said of him, he was a man after God's own heart. You can't get much better than that. Scripture said that he wrote songs to God. He led the people of Israel into battle. He was their champion. As a matter of fact, they wrote a song about him. Saul has slain his thousands, but David, he's slain his tens of thousands. Man, they had a best song or the best chart, and he was the man. But one day, he decided, I'm not going to battle today. I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to chill. Walking around his rooftop and just kind of chilling out, all of a sudden he looks out and sees this woman bathing. Now, why she was bathing where somebody could see on the rooftop, that's another story. I'm just saying, women, if y'all don't want the men to look, you need to cover up. I'm not saying you need to be somebody in a, you know, shelter in a sheet, but some stuff you ain't got to show. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. Lord have mercy, I got myself in trouble, Reverend Givens. Man after God's own heart, walking up on the rooftop, he sees Bathsheba. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how dedicated you are. You're going to have a Bathsheba moment somewhere in your life. You've got to decide, which direction do I go? And the scripture is very clear. That's one thing I love about the Bible. It doesn't hide a thing. It tells it all. This man, after God's own heart, sent, and I love what it says in the King James, fetched her. Men,
Stop using women. If you're going to be a real man, stop using women. Treat them with respect. Honor them. Cherish them as something special. They're not your footstool. When God made woman, he took her from the rib, by the side, not the foot. And ladies, not the head. Well, you can tell him what to do. Boy, things got quiet in here, man. It got quiet up in here. Somebody need to make some noise. It got quiet up in here. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Let me get finished with this sermon. But what am I saying? When you have someone special by your side to help you through life, not one at each side, but by your right side. Y'all missed that. Well, that was good opportunity right there. You don't need many women, just one. You can take that one. You're doing good, bro. This man after God's own heart named David loved God with all his heart, mind, and soul. But for a few moments, he gave in to his flesh. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. It was no exception for David. The Lord let that thing go on. And not only did he sin with Bathsheba, committing adultery, he had her husband put on the battlefield, and then everybody else kind of withdrew so that he was killed on the battlefield. How dare him? This is the same God that said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is this God that said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. But when I look at David, I've got to also reflect on myself and say, what would you do if you were in that situation? And bruh, if you don't pray, if you don't call on God, you might not make it through it. Are y'all still here? Are y'all real? Long story short, Bathsheba got pregnant. Uriah got murdered. And they thought everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be cool. But at the end of the chapter, it says, what David did displeased the Lord. God waited for the moment that he could get to David. And all of a sudden, he stirred up Nathan, the prophet, said, Nathan, go talk to my boy. Lord have mercy, I feel like preaching now. At the times when I failed God, he never failed me. At the times when I had come short of the glory of God, he never turned his back. God said, go talk to him. Tell him a sheep story. Tell him about something that he loves. And so Nathan came and talked to him about the sheep and said, this man had one little sheep. He loved it. And this other guy, Rich, had many sheep. Had a visitor to come to town. And rather than taking his own sheep, he took the one lamb that this man, this poor man, owned and slayed it and ate it, consumed it with his friends. And at that point, David got angry. He said, this man ought to die. Isn't it something we can judge others, but fail to look at our own sin? Isn't that something? And that's when Nathan, I could just see him in my mind's eye. Rather than taking both hands, he took one hand and said, you are the man. Not in a good way. Not in an innocent way. Not in a righteous way. But you're on God's radar. You are the man. Let me tell you something. When I read that, I had to step back and look at myself and said, wait a minute. God, what kind of man am I? Isn't that the subject? What manner of man, not is Jesus, but what manner of man is this? Do I give in? Am I influenced by the wrong people? Am I doing what God would have me to do? Am I preaching to somebody? I know I'm preaching to myself, stepping all over my toes. What kind of man is this? Only you can answer that question. God knows what kind of man each of us are. He knows what kind of person we are. But he wants us to be our best. That's why I said hashtag God's best. You can be a worse man any day. And for those that may be listening, some of you may have been incarcerated. Some of you may have committed crimes. You still got a chance. If you're still breathing, check your pulse. If you still got breath in your body, you still got a chance. I wish I could preach the way I feel right now. Society might write you off, but God's going to write you down. He's going to put you on his hit list because he wants to hit you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to hit you with the miraculous power that can pick you up and turn you around and put your feet on solid ground. The only reason why I'm in the church is because God touched me. That's the only reason. I didn't make up my mind I was going to get it straight, I was going to do right. As a matter of fact, I was hell-bent and hell-bound. But then Jesus stepped in and said, you ain't going there. You're going to be my man. That's when he pointed to me, Lewis, and said, you're going to be my man. I tried to fight it, but he becomes irresistible. You can't resist. I wish I could preach the way I feel today. Here's some things as I close today. Here's some things that you need to do if you're going to be God's man. Hashtag God's best. Here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to get up. You got to get up. I notice in this verse, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he asked them, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? But then in verse number 26, it said that Jesus arose. Are you reading it? Is it in your Bible? Jesus arose. If you're going to be God's best man, if you're going to be God's best person, you've got to get up. You can't sit down on the Lord. What are people doing? They said, well, we in COVID now. Well, how come you can go to Walmart and every place else? Can't go to church. Do you love Jesus? Walmart, you're going to get their blue light special or some light special or whatever. Now maybe that's Kmart. All right. Or never mind. But what you get when you come into the presence of God's people, you get his joy. Can't buy it in the store. Can't order it on Amazon. Only one place you can get it. If two or three of God's people would gather together in his name, he said, there I'll be in the midst of you. If you're going to be God's people, and God's best, you got to get up. All through the scripture, we see Jesus responding to the things around him, not by sitting down, but by getting up. Now we're in a day and age where people say there's so much wrong in our society, but I'm going to ask you, will you help make it right? If the only thing you can do is stand up to be an example, do that and glorify God in doing that. Can I get a witness here? We see Jesus standing up. Not only was he standing up in that day when the disciples were needing him, but Jesus stood up for a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. The Bible said first he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, but then when Jesus got up, there was no other man around. But why? Because he was God's best man. I'm going to tell you, when he stands up in your life, he stands in a place where he can say, I will deliver you. I am the Lord, your God. And as men, as people of the faith, we need to stand up. Jesus stood up in that time of storm. He stood up to the things. Hadn't he stood up for you? When you needed help from above, Jesus stood up. When Stephen was being stoned by those who were saying, you're no good and we're going to put you down and we're going to destroy you, Stephen looked up into glory and said, Jesus, I see you. I see the man in my life. And the Bible said that Jesus stood up. He's with us today. We got to believe in it. But not only should you stand up, you need to speak up. No time to be sheepish men. It's time to be bold. You talk everything else. I'm going to put it to you this way. If you used to cuss, now you ought to bless. Are y'all still here? You need to bless the Lord at all times. You need to bless and encourage one another. That's what our men's fellowship is all about. It's about men speaking up and saying, yes, I believe. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm going to be a blessing in somebody else's life. The Bible says in that same verse that Jesus spoke up, and here's the word. He spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the sea, and commanded them to be still. Men, you may not be able to speak to the wind and the sea, but you can speak to the folks in your house. Are y'all still here? Don't just take the fact that your child is out there. Go get them. Go get them. And I know this has nothing to do with Father's Day, but has everything to do with what my mother used to do. When I wouldn't come home at night, she didn't pace the floor. No, no. She got into that blue Ford Fairlane and would come looking for us, and woe be unto the man when she caught you. Are y'all still here? Well, I reckon my child coming home soon. No, no, I'm coming to get you. If you don't know how to come home, let me go get you. Amen. Before the sheriff or somebody else get you. And I'm amen. Maybe the sheriff will have more mercy on you than what I will. Ah, y'all still here? You need to speak up. If your child is headed in the wrong direction, you tell them. I used to come home and tanked up, Reverend Gibbons. Tore up from the floor. My mama didn't stand there with the broom. She stood there with the Bible. And she said, read about yourself. See what's going to happen to drunkards. Ernest, you knew I was going to talk about drinking today. I'm standing up here, and I get upstairs. I stumble up to my bed. I get on my knees and say, oh, God, don't kill me tonight. I'm going to get it straight in the morning. Just let me sober up. But you know what God did? You know this amazing God that I serve? You know what he did? He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He didn't look at where I was, but he looked at where I could be. He didn't look at my weakness. He looked at my strength. The same way that he had mercy on David, he had mercy on me. Every Sunday I get to testify to this good God that I got. I don't deserve the things I got. I don't deserve having a wife and children and all of these things. But God gave them to me. People can look at me and say, you don't deserve me, but I can say, nah, 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 but I got it. You got Jesus, you got everything you need. Let me hurry up and close. Y'all just sitting there clapping your hands. Not only should he stand up and speak up, but man, you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. If you're going to be God's best man, stay focused. A great verse is given to us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Simple verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus kept asking his disciples, where's your faith? You can't have faith unless you're looking to the author of your faith. And that's Jesus. The one who wrote it, the one who completes it. The one who gave it to you as God's gift for your life. Don't ever get to the place where you're looking around at circumstances. You know, why are you acting the way you do? I'm just acting the way because I'm looking at these other folk and they're acting the way. That is no excuse. You lost your focus. Well, I'm just going to do what I want because I'm my own man. Try saying that when you get to 60 or 70 years of age. You can see what kind of man you are. Amen. When your best friends have MD after their name. So you got to understand, God wants you to stay focused. We're living in a day now where people are so distracted, can't pay attention. COVID came along and we didn't even realize that God was in control of COVID. He's in control of it. If he's not, then nobody is. No vaccine can do what God can do. Are y'all still here? And I'm trusting him, as we told you, as we were working our way through it, we're going to get through this some way or somehow. But you got to stay focused. You got to keep your eye on Jesus. Look at somebody, tell him, keep your eye on Jesus. As I close this message and staying focused, you will see that he is the truth, the way, and the life when you focus on Jesus. You will see for yourself that he is a way maker, your burden bearer, and your best friend. You're going to see for yourself that the Lord is our keeper. Some men can get in the water and swim faster than everybody else, but ain't no man like Jesus who can walk on water. Some men might climb the highest mountain and get to the top and say, I'm the man. But do you know the man that made the mountain? He's the one that you need to look to. Some men may be able to say, well, hey, I'm a man because I can take a lot. But no man can take all of our sin and wash them away, bury them in the sea of forgetfulness. No man can do that. Some men might be able to stand up and say, hey, I avoided death. But here's Jesus said, I died, but I rose again. I'm the man. When you trust him and you know that he's God, you have no doubt in your mind, that's God's best man. That's God's best man. Two disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, when you get into glory, let one of us be on your right side and the other on the left side. Well, let me tell you something. Anywhere in God's kingdom is all right with me. How about you? I don't have to be just by his side, but I know I'm going to be there because I've followed God's best man. Search your hearts today. Search your heart and ask yourself, am I becoming God's best? Or am I becoming what I want to be? There's going to be a reward for becoming what you want to be. You may not like it, but if you become what God wants you to be, I guarantee you, as Fletcher Hubbard said, you're going to like it. You're going to like it real good. As we bow in prayer today, make a vow with me that you will become the best person that you can be. I'm going to be the best church member I can be. Oh, I know I made somebody mad. I stepped on somebody's toes. I'm going to be the best person that I can be when it comes to prayer, to reading this Bible. I found out God's got a whole lot to say to us. But are we going to listen to the Spirit? Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for loving us far more than we've ever loved you. But Lord, we want to respond. Rather than us becoming our own person, we want to become what you would have us to be. And Lord, this message has been challenging to some, convicting to others, but I pray that it would sink into their hearts. If I've said anything that's of the flesh, let them not even remember it. But if I said something of the Spirit, let it burn in their heart like fire, that they would say to themselves, what must I do to be saved? Bless us, God, and thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day, God, because you've been a good, good God and a wonderful Father to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend the invitation. There'll be some in here that if you know not the Lord and you want to get close to him and you want to know him for yourself, we invite you. We open the doors of the church. For those that are online, we've got to do something different. You've got to respond to me. You've got to talk back to me while you're texting your friend. Text us here at the church so that we can get back with you and let you know what you need to do to be saved and to become God's best. If that's you, please respond to God. The invitation is given. Let us all stand. Looking down.
Down.
Yes, sir.
On me.
Mm.
Heaven is looking.
I know it's
down on me.
Yes, sir.
In looking down on me, heaven is looking.
Bless the offering, yeah.
Down on me.
When I lay awake.
When I lay awake and can't sleep,
I can see an angel.
At my feet.
Lord, I know that
heaven is looking
down on me.
Heaven is looking.
Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy and righteous name. Father, we stand today on this Father's Day to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for seeing another year. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to come this way this morning to just to give you our praise and our worship. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to hear your word from your manservant, Father, as he spoke to our hearts. Father, we thank you for opening our hearts that we can receive your word. Lord, we ask you, Father, to continue to bless this church. Continue to bless the work that it does for the community and throughout this world. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless our pastor, Lord, and his family. Bless him, Father, in his travel, wherever he may go, Father, and just keep them safe and out of harm's way. Not only for the pastor, Father, but for every household that represents here today, Father. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless all of us. As we sleep through the night and dangers come past our door, you bless us with life, mercy, and protection, Father, that we can get up the next morning and still see. We thank you. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless the choirs that sing around this church, Lord. Let them continue to sing the songs of Zion. Uplifting songs. Songs that give us hope. To let us know that you promise you'll never leave us, nor would you forsake us. Father, we pray. Lord, as we're about to receive this offering, we pray, Lord, that you bless it, Lord, and just bless it as it's been given, that it may be given out of love, peace, and understanding. Father, we pray, Lord, as you dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. Keep us in your care. And let us, Father, leave here knowing that we have a Father who cares. We have a Father who shares. We have a Father that will love us in spite of and hold us in the hollow of his hand. Father, dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us follow the direction of the ushers as we leave out today. May contribute into our offering.